Okay, after listening to the two previous presentations, you're probably wondering, what can we do? And I hope that this presentation will help to at least get you some ideas as to what you can do in your own community. The topic is Community Organization in Response to War, One Community's Response. Okay, I have no financial relationship to disclose, but I must confess I do have a fairly large emotional investment in Brooklyn for Peace and in the ultimate success of its mission, which is the elimination of war and the social injustices which cause war. Community organizing around war in Iraq and Afghanistan is particularly difficult because there is so little immediate, tangible result. In spite of very large protests before the start of each of these wars and for several of the early years, the wars appear to be relentlessly ongoing. The actual results of President Obama's recent announcement of his intention to abide by the previously negotiated Status of Forces Agreement and withdraw U.S. combat troops from Iraq remains to be seen. But possibly most discouraging and daunting is that the ongoing war in Afghanistan, as well as the extensive use of drones in Afghanistan, as well as in other regions, has been eclipsed from the news totally. The previous speakers on this panel and also elsewhere at this conference have spoken on the impact of armed conflict on those communities most immediately affected by it. But what is the antidote to the numbing feelings of despair which can overwhelm our ability to respond as ordinary citizens, as well as compassionate professionals? We need to create concrete activities in which professionals, as well as those from diverse educational and occupational backgrounds, can participate to even begin to address this problem. I've been fortunate enough over the past 26 years to be part of a community-based peace and justice organization, which has been a vehicle for experimenting with and creating a variety of such concrete activities. And I want to present several examples from my experience working with Brooklyn for Peace, which is a grassroots, community-based organization. To break down the overwhelming problem, prevention of war and promotion of peace to manageable components, Brooklyn for Peace has adopted a committee system allowing for individuals to focus their work in particular areas. And this gives a picture of our banner from the recent demonstration at the 10th anniversary of the Afghanistan war. Again, hopefully it gives you the feeling that we are alive, in motion, and not just sitting home on our couches reading the news. The Anti-Militarism Committee, also known as Counter-Recruitment Committee, leaflets public high schools in Brooklyn to advise students and parents that there are alternatives to the military, as well as how they can prevent their personal information from being released to the military recruiters, which is required by federal No Child Left Behind law, unless they opt out. And the next slide shows the flyer which we've been distributing in English and Spanish at the public high schools and the parent-teacher nights, which advises students as to how they can get the form which allows them to opt out. This form is required to be given to the students, but often this simply just falls between the cracks and the students and parents don't realize that unless they sign the form, they will start receiving recruiting phone calls, personal visits, harassment, and so forth from the military recruiters. And I also have here, which you can look at afterwards, a pamphlet that we prepared on alternatives to the military and how students can either go to college or work and not be drawn into war. Next, we have the Peace and Economic Justice Committee. By researching and emphasizing the cost of war to Brooklyn in very specific ways, this committee seeks to build coalitions with community groups whose programs are directly impacted by budget shortfalls necessitated by the overstuffed military budget. And the next slide shows you out on the street with what we call our penny pole. This is a gizmo with which we attract passersby over to our table. You can't see them on the left-hand side, but there are 10 or so glass tubes. And each person is asked to come over and given 100 pennies and then asked to make their decision as to which of the different priorities they would choose to allocate our tax funds to. A recent use of this penny poll revealed that out of 58 people who took the poll, 21% chose education and arts as the leading category. Jobs was close behind with 20.9%, and healthcare was 20.5%. Veterans' benefits was 6.8%, and only 3.4% would have been allocated to the military. And we then have a flyer that we show people, which shows the graph that Drs. Easley and Allen showed in their previous slide, showing how the federal budget is now currently allocated. And the reverse of that slide, gives some of these figures and then gives the phone numbers of our senators to call, saying, please call them and tell them how we want our priorities to be allocated. This has been actually very effective in getting people both to come to our tables to take the penny poll and to take action afterwards. We have postcards that they can sign, as well as going home and making the phone call. Okay, next we have the Nuclear Zero Committee. This works towards an end to nuclear proliferation and for complete nuclear disarmament by all countries, including the United States, which now possess nuclear weapons. Since cities, especially New York, would be targets in case of a nuclear attack, we have instituted a campaign for New York City to become a mayor city of peace. I'm sorry to say, thus far Mayor Bloomberg has said he's not interested. Thus far, 160 U.S. cities have signed up in over 5,000 cities worldwide, and we have a petition campaign going in which we hope to emphasize the fact that this is really a self-interest issue for New York City aside from its other implications. Particularly following the Fukushima disaster in the spring, the proximity of New York City to the Indian Point power plant has led to the expansion of our road to include optimal power. And the next slide shows us at a rally on August 11th, which was the five-month anniversary of the Fukushima disaster. This rally was focused on shutting down Indian Point, and we also used it. We had flyers and other posters illustrating that the so-called peaceful use of nuclear energy is both unsafe in the immediate present as well as in the long-ranging future, and also that nuclear power plants can be a cover, actually are a cover, that can lead to nuclear proliferation. Okay, next we have the Latin America Committee. We have a very large Hispanic population in Brooklyn, so this committee is particularly important. And it addresses the impact of U.S. militarism on Latin American countries in a variety of ways. We particularly focused on the role of the U.S. military in training Latin American militaries and police in the Western Hemisphere Institute for Security Cooperation, which you may have previously known as the School of the Americas in Fort Benning, Georgia. We also have a Darfuri community in Brooklyn, and we have worked with this community to increase public awareness of the genocide in Darfur, which is still ongoing, through educational outreach and to generate political pressure to stop the genocide. A monthly vigil at the U.S. mission to the United Nations has continued for more than 6 years. And we have chosen Darfur to focus on because the Darfuri community came to us after our peace fair in 2003 and asked us to work with them. There are, of course, many other areas in Africa which also have similar drastic problems. And we have the Israel-Palestine Committee, which seeks to end U.S. military aid which supports the Israeli occupation and to achieve a just and negotiated peace in the region. And we recently cooperated with some other groups to put on this subway ad campaign in New York City. These subway ads ran in billboards and subway stations throughout the city for the month of September, letting people know that the U.S. has pledged over 10 years $30 billion in military aid to Israel. And we asked the questions, is this a good use of our tax dollars? Will it help to bring peace to the Palestinians and the Israelis? And does it advance America's standing in the world? All of those three questions we answer no, and then give people information as to how they can learn more about it and hopefully take action. And then we have the Diversity Outreach Committee, which reaches out to initiate and strengthen connections with marginalized communities in Brooklyn by building relationships with individuals and groups. Then we have the UNICEF Committee, which builds awareness of children's rights while raising money by participating in the Halloween trick-or-treat for UNICEF, which I'm sorry to say I'm missing at this very moment. Then we have the Brooklyn Peace Fair, which since 2003 has developed as an annual and major event, and this is the program for the most recent one, to reach out to those not previously involved, as well as to energize and connect peace activists from throughout Brooklyn. And the next slide shows on the left the poster that we used to publicize this event throughout Brooklyn. It was held this year at Brooklyn College. which is in the center of a Caribbean Haitian community. And on the right shows the Boone Mechanical Orchestra, a brass band, marching band, which accompanied us on a very spirited march through the neighborhood at the conclusion of the Peace Fair, giving out the flyers that we showed before on the cost of war to Brooklyn. Okay, and last we have the fundraising committee, which makes participation via a financial commitment available as a mode of participation for our constituents, many of whom have overly busy professional and personal lives. And with funds, we have been able to hire a full-time program coordinator who has made possible the development of our multifaceted program. Our goal is a stable organization which is sustainable for the long haul. And let me also mention, in the wings, but not as currently full-fledged functioning committees, we have what we call task forces on international law, arts and culture, and the environment, and we'll be developing work in all of those areas as well. Okay, I've mentioned before, and other people have also mentioned, that a major problem confronting the peace movement is the insidious way in which war and militarism have become invisible. To try to address this issue, we have developed visual resources with the aid of our local artists, and these are two of them. On the left, we see Who's Dying, Who's Lying, Who's Profiting, Say No to War, Bring Our Troops Home. And on the right, we have To Support the Troops, Bring Them Home Now. And these posters are 11 by 17. They're very photogenic and very visible from a distance, and we use them on marches, demonstrations, and also encourage people to put them up in the front windows of their homes to let their neighbors know that, in fact, that's how we feel about it, and that that the war is ongoing. We need to really do as much as we can to make it visible. Okay, since the final common pathway for the allocation of our country's resources still is the vote, we communicate in all possible ways with our elected officials to let them know what we as their constituents want and how we want them to vote when the opportunities arise. We encourage our elected officials to speak out, and this shows on the left is Councilperson Letitia James speaking at our recent rally on the 10th anniversary of the Afghanistan War, and on the right is New York City Public Advocate Bill de Blasio marching with us. And I'm also happy to say that the majority of our Brooklyn delegation has voted consistently against the war funding and also recently voted against the free trade agreements with Colombia, Panama, and South Korea. I'm sorry to say our New York senators have not followed their lead, but we're working on them as well. Okay, next, we'd like to encourage people to carry the message in whatever way possible and as often as possible. On the right, you see our youthful, energetic program coordinator with a panel of buttons at a recent peace fair, and people can buy these buttons for $1 or we give them away as long as they'll wear the button, and they carry relevant and timely messages. On the right is our treasurer carrying a timely sign, Fund Human Needs, Not War. And this was from the recent march in which we joined thousands of New Yorkers from community and labor groups to support the Occupation Wall Street encampment in Lower Manhattan. Okay, this flyer was from also the 10th anniversary of the Afghanistan War, a recent demonstration, and it emphasizes several of the points I've tried to make. One is that we need to make the war and its impact visible. And so the various points emphasize the impact on American, Iraqi, and Afghan lives which have been lost in the war, the economic impact, which is $1.5 trillion since 2001, the fact that 60 cents of every tax dollar now go to the Pentagon while our public schools get 4 cents. Also at the bottom, you'll see it says, community rally emphasizing this is a community problem. Speak out, encouraging everybody to speak out whenever and wherever they can. And then speakers and music, it's a family affair, bring the kids, and it absolutely was. So that's it. For further information, you can contact us. That's our web address. If you Google us, just as Brooklyn for Peace, it can come up very high on the Google list. And that's our telephone number with a misprint at the end. And just lop off that last two and our email address. So I'm glad to answer any questions, and thanks very much for your attention.